So our reading is taken from Joshua 4. And the waters of the Jordan had just been parted, and the children of Israel had walked through. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua. And they camped, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests had carried the ark of the where the priest who carried the ark of the covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Let me skip on. The priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran in flood as before. On the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern borders of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what it had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had passed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." So imagine this moment. The children of Israel have crossed to the promised land. What a sense of achievement. I wonder, what's your sense of achievement? What have you maybe done today? You've got here, well done. But what have you done over the last few weeks or year that you thought, yes, well done me, we've achieved something? Why don't you just have a little word with your neighbour and just see? Well, clearly we're a church that achieves some things, or maybe you were talking about what you wished you had achieved. Well, Nigel and I achieved a bit of a dream earlier this year. We took a motorhome around the North Coast 500. We had been talking about it for over a decade. For all sorts of different reasons, it had never happened. This year, it did. My goodness, yeah. It was amazing. So it was an adventure. We had amazing, spectacular views of mountains, alive, glowing in gorse, with fabulous sunshine and catching the shadows on the mountains. We had times when those spectacular views were completely covered in cloud and rain and fog. We achieved a dream of rocking up to a lock with nobody else around us and spending the night there. It was amazing. We also thought we'd rocked up at a lock with nobody else around us, only to discover that 8 other camper vans came later that evening, so we weren't on our own at all. We navigated roads that were clearly built for a horse and trap, with not only our motorhome, but with potholes either side that were kind of as big as the Isle of Wight. And then more scarily, an even bigger motorhome coming towards us. We learnt to reverse, sometimes into things, which wasn't so good. We found ourselves looking for a pharmacy and a doctor in one of the remotest places in Scotland. We lived in a basic tin can where it got so cold at night we put on all the layers that we could. But the thing is, we did it. And as we got to the homeward stretch and drove from Stirling to Edinburgh, we had that sense inside of us, we have done it. That's amazing. Well done us. We have achieved our dream after all this time. And so we did whatever self-respecting curate would do to celebrate. We went for a slap-up meal in a gorgeous French restaurant. It was wonderful. And of course, we did what we do these days, photo box, yeah, with an album that seems to be full of locks and mountains and sky that all look pretty similar. It was amazing at the time, honestly. If we felt that sense of achievement after achieving a 10-year-old dream, imagine what the children of Israel were like as they crossed the Jordan River into the Promised Land. This was after 40 years of wandering the desert, 500 years since the promise to Abraham. Surely they were there thinking, wow, we have done it. So behind them were the years of slavery in Egypt, the weary, nomadic life in the wilderness, same old food over and over again, countless funerals of those who had died in the wilderness. But a new chapter was starting, a land flowing with milk and honey. Richer than their dreams, more fruitful than their hopes, it was all to come. And thanks be to God for this amazing intervention. It's kind of bookending what, as they left Egypt and slavery in the Exodus and the parting of the Red Sea, and now they were coming to the Promised Land with another parting of the sea, the Jordan. How wonderful God is. And so maybe it's no wonder that the Lord said to Joshua, make a memorial, something that lasts a bit longer than the French meal in a photo book. A 500-year-old promise had been fulfilled. And so a memorial was built. Stones. Stones that tell a story. I wonder what you do to remember significant events in your life. Maybe you just want to turn to your neighbour and say, is there something you do? Or maybe there's something you would like to do but haven't got round to it yet. Well, as we draw those conversations to a close about the sorts of things you might do or would like to do, I just want to offer this morning three ways in which these stones may tell a story. The stones tell a story of God's faithfulness. They're kind of a tapestry. It's not just an event, but it stretches back through the years, a tapestry that weaves God's faithfulness amidst the failure and brokenness of his own people. These stones tell a story of how his faithfulness encompasses the brokenness and frailty of its children, but never lets them go. It encompasses their lack of cooperation, their stubbornness and pride, their deviation from commandments, and he pursues them with his love and goodness to bring them to this point. So we have Abraham's foolishness, perhaps, and deception in fathering a child with Hagar, to Moses' impulsive, hot-tempered, murdering act. the moany complaints of his children in the desert. God's faithfulness to his promise to bring his children to this point never wavered. And yes, of course, there were consequences. Tapestries are so often messy on the other side, aren't they? But God's faithfulness endured. The stones tell the story of his faithfulness. But why? Because the stones tell a story of God's people, his people, the people that he thought were worth loving and gathering together. 12 stones representing 12 tribes. Everyone was included, the good, the bad, and the ugly, to quote a Clint Eastwood film. The movers and the shakers, those people who were in that crowd who liked and got things happening. It included those people sitting at the back of the crowd, not really knowing what was going on or what was happening, not wanting, too unsure of themselves to really join in. It included those who were full of energy and optimism. The adventure of the new way of living coming into the promised land was just, had encompassed them and captured their thoughts, and they were just for it, forging ahead. But it also encompassed those who were weary and sad and tired, who hardly knew how to put one foot in front of the other. Those who were full of faith, those who were full of doubt, and those who just didn't know what to think anymore. All were God's people. All were encompassed in this crossing, no longer irrelevant, no longer nobodies, but God's people now crossing into the promised land. The stones tell a story of God's mission. For the word of his faithfulness is to be told and retold, because the reality is God's people forget so quickly of his goodness and his love, and some people have never heard of it anyway. And perhaps it's part of the brokenness of humanity that we remember failures so much more than we remember God's goodness and mercy to us. And when I say failure, I don't mean God's, I really mean the times when he seemed absent, when he was silent. So often we remember those and take the good things for granted. The stones are to be a talking point and reminder that although this day may have felt like a finishing line, they were in fact a fulfillment of a promise. In truth, their work was beginning. God's people were being led forward and would need courage and resilience and trust in God to fully enter into the land that they were to take. Dear friends, we are God's people. We here are recipients of God's faithfulness to us. We are his people. We share in his mission. I wonder what our stories are. I wonder what our stones are. I've just got a couple I want to share with you. The first one is my wedding ring. It's a bit small, so you can't see it, but here it is. When Nigel and I got married 15 years ago, or when we got engaged 16 years ago, we both of us already had a wedding ring in a drawer somewhere. What were we to do with those wedding rings? Part of our story, our tapestry, is that we went to a jeweller's in Bristol and we had our rings melted down. The jeweller was horrified, actually, because they were different carats. We had them melted down and two new ones made. Because for us, we've brought all of ourselves to that point, to this point. When I look at my hand today, I remember that through God's goodness and faithfulness, all of the past, all of the joys, all of the sorrows, all of the failures, all of the so-called successes were all encompassed in our life at that point. And the ring was to be a sign that all of us was going to start the new journey. On a similar vein, we needed a big picture to go on our fireplace. So I asked members of our extended family, blended family they're called these days, to give, see if I could have some fabric of some sort. So I won't go through them all, but this one here is a pair of my brother's pyjamas. I think he must have outgrown them. Somewhere here is a shirt from Nigel's son, James. This white one is a disposable towel from Tony and Guy. My son's a hairdresser. And actually, these buttons here are from Nigel's school uniform. What I believed God was doing was bringing together random people. And I wove the golden thread, the golden ribbon, as a sign of God's faithfulness and goodness. In bringing this family together, some of them are more keen than others to be part of this family. Some of them are very happy. Some of them kind of sway, depending which way the wind blows. But when I sit in the living room and look at this, I am reminded of how God has drawn our family together. And through it all is his faithfulness, his goodness. And as he made the children of Israel into an army to conquer the land, so he has made this random group of people into a family. But he is also making his church, drawing his church into a family too. I wonder what your stones are. I wonder what stories you tell, can tell, as we go forward in our journey. We use these memorials not as a way of nostalgia, of looking back and staying in the path, but we use them as a way engaging our faith, of our faith growing, to tell of the story of God's goodness and faithfulness to us. I wonder what your stories are. Our faithful God, drawing his people to himself. That's our song. Our song of redemption. Our song of renewal.